everybody. I hope everybody had a great day. And I just don't say that. I've been thinking about it all day, that I hope everybody's Wednesday was good, and my prayer is that when you leave tonight, that you'll be glad that you came. Of course, I don't know how many of you will get this. I didn't know if you'd let me up here wearing this almost burnt orange shirt. Some of you get it. All right. It is getting close to football season. Okay, so, all right. So we won't do any hook'em horns or nothing up here tonight. So, of course, I am not a Texas fan. It's just a shirt, okay? All right. Yeah, amen. I like that. Sometimes our days can be hard. Sometimes our days can be easy. But, you know, we're going to look at some folks tonight that things went rather bad for them, but by the word of God and by the things that they had learned, they stood strong. And it's amazing how things work out with the two songs we sang tonight, Follow and He Leads. And hopefully you'll see both those songs, which I didn't, we didn't intend. We didn't get together, did we, Aaron?
No,
we didn't. No. No collaboration here at all, but God works it out, and it's funny how that works out. Also, last week I was working on a message, and everything changed Sunday morning, and so I just started from scratch, Brother Bill, and once again, Brother Isaac used Hebrews 2:1 about heeding what we hear. And once again, we're going to look at some folks tonight that when, as they grew and the people that they were around, the effect that it had on their life. You know, sometimes we have a target. You know, the lesson I was working on before, I was telling my wife kind of what I had in mind. And she said, well, what's the point? I said, what do you mean, what's the point? And she said, well, you got to have a point. I said, well, this. And I said, well, so I kind of changed my mind about, or the Lord changed my mind about what I wanted to do. And sometimes you have a target. Brother Tom, you know, where you're zeroing in like a sniper. You know, you just want to get that little bit. But we're going to kind of do like a shotgun blast tonight, okay? We're going to have all kinds of points, okay? And I hope that you'll go away and say, yep, I'm glad I came. You know, just being around folks that serve God, just being around grandpas, grandmas that pray, that read, mom and dad, that take the kids to church and act that way in the home. Not one way one day, one way another. Just being around aunts and uncles, cousins, being around people that you work with that try to serve the Lord. Just being around the Word. You know, what is it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, reading, hearing, talking. My son loves to talk Bible. He likes to talk about the Bible. And I'm glad he does. It encourages me. It lifts me up. Teaching the Word. Studying the Word. Living the Word. Seeing it, you know, in action. It can have an effect on us, you know, especially people that are younger and they are easily molded. You know, what does it say, like the potter? In contrast to today, you know, in our society, there's this show I like to watch, and this guy was looking for something to do, and his friend told him, because this is taking place around 1920, and he said, read a book. You know, of course, then they didn't have TV. You know, he said, read a book. And but contrast to today, what our young people are seeing, you know, with social media, TV, you know, we don't have to go down that road because we all know. We all know the influence it has. We all know video games, everything like that. And it affects grown people too. Where I work, at one time, I don't know what it's like now, but at one time, our biggest problem about employees, you know, showing up for work wasn't drugs and alcohol, is they couldn't come to work because they stayed up all night playing video games. You know? And so you see the influence that things have on folks. Plus, if they're around folks that are not true to the word, and I wrote down here, if you're just bringing in a bunch of baloney, baloney's what you're going to get. You know, I mean, that's what you're going to be full of. You're not going to be full of the word. And what happens then, if you're around folks that are not true to the word, and like Isaac says, this is for free. My youngest thoughts of going to church, we lived in Oregon, and was vacation Bible school, probably 4 or 5 years old, I'm not sure, at the First Baptist Church in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. And over the years, I attended several different other faiths, is what I call it, religions. And even after I was saved in Wilburton, Oklahoma, it seemed like I was still digging and searching and to find out what the scriptures had to say. And I learned really quick that if you're not grounded, you could fall for every whim that's out there.
Amen.
You know. Some of our biggest religions that are out there now are around 100 years old. They're just something Johnny come lately. And my lesson tonight was originally supposed to be about three people. But as I studied and read, you will see it's about six people. And it's really amazing how this comes together. If I had a title tonight, it would be God, Guts, and Glory. Learning and hearing the word can bring us to God. So, who are we going to talk about? These people of God. All right, a lot of us thinking, oh, it's going to be Joshua, Samson, Barak, you know, or maybe even Paul or Peter, great men of God, mighty men of valor. But in a way, it's really not. Let's find out who it is, because it is a different type of valor. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the Old Testament in Judges chapter 11. How many of you are familiar with Jephthah? Anybody? Yeah, my wife raised her hand. Jephthah. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. He was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they threw out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men unto Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Amnon made war against Israel. I'll make sure I don't go too far. And it was so that when the children of Amnon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went out to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Amnon. First of all, here's a fella whose mom was a harlot. You know, that could be a bad thing in those days. And his brothers kicked him out, Brother Tom. Said we didn't want him no more. Run him off. But somewhere, Jephthah began to follow the Lord. And it came to pass in the process of time that Amnon made war against Israel. And guess what? I read some studies and it said that Jephthah might have been one of the original Army Rangers. Navy SEAL type. Mighty man of valor. So his brothers, when the bad guys came, they wanted him. They came for him. And he said, Well, I'll come, but you must make me captain. Verse 9, he says, Said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Amnon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head, or your captain. And the elders said unto him, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. So, we kind of get a picture here. Here's a guy that really had an excuse not to serve the Lord. He was run off. He didn't know who his mother was. Had all kinds of reasons. But somewhere in there, you know he's even mentioned in Hebrews 11? Amen. Somewhere in there, he became a mighty man of valor and of God. So as this war is taking place, if you turn to verse 29, the Spirit of the Lord, that's a key right there. Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Amnon. And he vowed a vow, said unto the Lord, And if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Amnon to my hand, then shall it be that whatsoever come forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace, from the children of Amnon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Amnon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them to his hands, and smote them from Aroer even till they come unto Minnith, even 20 cities unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Amnon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah, his house. And his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her had neither son nor daughter. And he came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father. I want to stop right there for a second. So So this battle's taking place, this war, and Jephthah, if you read the whole thing, he inquires of the Lord. And remember those scriptures that said, the Spirit of the Lord. And he asked the Lord to give him the victory, and he would sacrifice the first thing that met him. And his daughter came out. No, he did not sacrifice his daughter. The law strictly forbids human sacrifice. But what he did is he's going to ask his daughter to honor his vow to serve the Lord her entire life. Verse 36. She said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which thou hast proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance of thee and thine enemies, even the children of Ammon. Then it goes on about how she asked her father to let her go away for 2 months, that she may cry and mourn that she would never marry, she would never have children, and Jephthah wouldn't have any grandsons, granddaughters, no heirs. So the key to this one here, to me, first of all, Jephthah left his daughter enough education of the Lord and lived his life that she would say, do unto me. And she was going to give her whole life in service to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That he had such influence on her in the Lord that she would do that. And this is where I was just amazed that she just said, do unto me according to that which proceeded out of thy mouth. And I just love that. Adrian Rogers called Jephthah a man of steel. But you know, even a man of steel can teach a little girl about the Lord. You know? He sure can. I mean, I know, you know, we're supposed to be men. You know, supposed to be tough. You know? Well, you know, and Jephthah really didn't ask for all them circumstances to happen to him. He didn't ask, you know, to who his mother was going to be run off by his brothers and all this. But, you know, he turned to the Lord, and he really must have lived a life to get in Hebrews chapter 11, but also to influence his daughter enough. All right, our next person, if you will, turn to Esther. All right. Now, I know everybody knows the story about Esther, right? And just between me and you and everyone who's listening, it's my favorite book in the Bible. I love this story. You know, first of all, we have Mordecai, who was carried off in the Babylonian captivity. And we have the king, Azarias. And we know that he made a feast and he asked his queen Vashti to come because, well, to be polite, they're all drunk. And all of his friends wanted to see Vashti because she was beautiful. And she said, I ain't going to be made a spectacle of. I'm not going to do it. So he was going to have her put away. Or he did have her put away. So in Esther chapter 2, verse 5, it says, now in Shushan the palace were there a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she neither had father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So, once again, we have a circumstance where somebody, the circumstances were overwhelming. You remember the Jews were carried away. He was in Babylon, and he was living there with, you know, lots of Jews, and obviously they kept the faith. And when Esther came to live with him, because she didn't have mother or father, once again, circumstances are against her. Another young girl, not, you know, everything working right. But it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, that many maidens were gathered together. So what happened was, Azarias, when he done away with Vashti, well, they said, you need to get you another queen. So he sent a decree, and most of you know this story. He sent the decree out, and we're going to gather everybody around, all the girls, and we're going to pick one to be the new queen. And Esther, she hadn't told nobody that she was Jewish, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her, because she went to the palace because of the decree. But here's her cousin, Mordecai, checking on her, showing concern, showing love, probably also showing how to walk in faith. It's amazing, you know, that here's some people have every reason, you know, not to continue in faith, but they do. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set before the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So what happens next is Haman, he's an official. You know, kind of Reader Digest in him, because I know most of you know the story. He tricked the king into having a decree to destroy and kill all the Jews. And some people will say, that's not possible. It's not possible to wipe out a race. It's not possible to kill a million people. Well, historically, in my time, Mao, Pol Pot in Cambodia, the Sudan and Darfur, a little bit go back a few other years. Of course, we had World War II, the Khrushchev, Hitler, the Turks nearly wiped out the Armenians. So historically, these things have taken place. And so you could see that they were very concerned. So Haman goes to, Mordecai goes to Esther, this young girl, and asks her to go to the king and tell him what Haman has prepared. And she says that she would do it, but she asked that everybody would pray for her. Verses chapter 4. Let's see here. And she says that she would do, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape to the king's house more than all the Jews. And then she says, then Esther bade them to return Mordecai this answer, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. So I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. What does she say? If I perish, I perish. You know, another young lady that had been influenced by somebody else. If I perish, I perish. And the next one, that everybody's familiar with is Ruth. We all know the story of Ruth, 1 through 17. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Oh, once again, a circumstance that we have no control over. Right? Man, amazing. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Euphrates of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died. Once again, and also both of them, and the woman was left to her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and has given them bread. Okay? It's key to see things that are said. Okay? What does it say there? She had heard how the Lord, you know, not that, hey, it's been raining and things are good, right? You know, hey, the crops are good. That the Lord was doing good things, all right? So, you know, in my mind, what that tells me is that we've got a lady of faith. And she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to your mother's house. In other words, I'm going back home. Y'all go to mama. And the Lord deal kindly with you. Whoa, once again, the Lord deal kindly with you? You know, I can't even think of the movie. This popped in my head. You know, what kind of fool person would say something like that? You know, well, if they're a person of faith, they'll say the Lord. If they believed, followed the Lord, deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that each may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted them up, and their voice, and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there any yet more sons in my womb that ye may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, I should have a husband also tonight and bear also sons. Would ye tarry for them that they are grown? Would ye stay for them that are having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth claved unto her. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from thee following her, for whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. You see? This is where, when I was studying this, my story is about three people. It's about three girls. And as I studied, I go, you know, it's more than just about these three. It's about the three people that influenced them. You know? Story's about six people. And I just find that encouraging. All these people had bad times. Bad circumstances. What's really neat about the story about Ruth, and most of you know this, is that she said, thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Whoa, and what happens? The kinsman redeemer? Man. Amen. All these girls had a mentor. They learned they were taught. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 talks about doing what we're taught. Don't forget. Don't forget who you are. I don't think these girls forgot who they were. I don't think their mentors forgot who they were. When all seems against us, think about who was for you. Who helped you? Who mentored you? Who taught you? On the flip side, who are you mentoring? Who are you leading? Who's following you? Are you being a good example to follow? Are you leading properly? And you know, much like the circumstances back then with the law, especially in Esther's case, if you don't keep up with it, you know, a lot of laws are going against us right now. You know, if you're a believer, there are a lot of laws going against you. But we have the courage. You know, the young lady, Jephthah's daughter, served God. Esther showed some guts. You know, we shall all should serve God. We need to show some guts. And what happens at the end? We'll all get to see glory. So, that's where I believe I am done. And if Brother Dean, you'll come up, we'll have a hymn of invitation. And I really hope that there was something in this that will encourage you and uplift you, because I know it did me in studying it. Because like I said, it really wasn't about Joshua and Moses and, you know, great men swinging a sword. It's really about the faith of three little girls, you know, and how they changed things in their area, in their life, in their world. Guys? 563.